Have you ever considered rust dyeing fabric? The aesthetic is gorgeous and you just might want to try it on your own. Today, I'll have a chat with mixed media textile artist and online educator, Angie Knowles. Hello and welcome to the Quilter on Fire podcast, where I explore the stories, the connections, and the joy of guests in the quilting world. I'm your host, Brandy Maslowski, the Quilter on Fire, and I can't wait to share this week's episode with you. So here we go. My guest today is Angie Knowles. She is a mixed media textile artist and online educator. I have been her friend for years online and had the chance to meet her in person at QuiltCon. She is really into experimentation, pushing the boundaries of a process or technique. She takes it further than she thinks she can and then turns around and shares it with her audience. Her first online course is a series of classes on learning to design for your cutting machine. And her latest course is a wonderful exploration of rust dyeing fabric, which I absolutely love doing myself. And I'm excited to explore the technique on the podcast. So let's get into it. Angie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brandy, and thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. Now, I love to start by taking a look back at where you got started. So when do you first remember putting stitch to fabric?
I was 9 years old, and I took a sewing class at the summer recreation program in our neighborhood when I was growing up.
Oh, that is so sweet. That's a nice young start. Were there certain creative people in your life that really had an impact on you?
Not really. My mom was more into cooking, and my grandmother, I don't remember her doing any creative things, but the idea of sewing appealed to me at that age, and I took it and I kept it up all these years.
Yeah. Well, you're known right now among your colleagues for your surface design techniques and everything that you're doing today. But can you tell us about your first quilt?
My first quilt was for my daughter, and calling it a quilt may be stretching it because all I did was cut up the fabric and sewed it into squares. And then I didn't do any real quilting. I just tied yarn at the intersections. Yeah. So calling it a quilt may be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us started there with tying quilts in the first place. Did you continue quilting after that for many years, or did you kind of jump right into surface design right off the bat?
No, I did not quilt after that, and I did not jump into surface design. I did a lot of sewing still, and I sewed for my daughter as she was growing up. I sewed for our home, but I didn't jump into quilting until much later in life.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about your career path, because you made a transition from a career into quilting. So thank you for your service. Tell us about your career.
Well, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, almost 20 years. So I retired from the Air Force. And it was funny because the Air Force was a second choice for me. I really wanted to be an FBI agent.
Oh, cool.
But instead, I went into the Air Force. And I had two jobs in the Air Force. My first job was in payroll. And while I liked the work, I realized I really wasn't cut out for customer service. So I retrained into radio maintenance. So I learned how to maintain microwave and tropospheric scatter radio, which before that I knew absolutely nothing about. So it was pretty exciting to learn something new.
Oh, that's kind of neat. I've never heard of any of those things either. So did that career take you all over the place, or were you able to settle and do it from one location?
I know we went, I say we, because my husband was active duty Air Force also. He retired, but we went everywhere. We had three tours overseas, two tours in Turkey and one in Italy, several states, you know, in the United States. But so we traveled quite a bit in the service.
Yeah. And because I'm your friend, I know as well, when you say military family, you're not just talking about you and your husband. You're talking about your daughter as well.
Yes. Our daughter, without any pressure from us, she decided to join the Army. Now, we did have to forgive her for that because she joined the Army and not the Air Force. But she's very happy with, and she loves it. She was just recently commissioned a warrant officer, so she's very happy.
Oh, that is very sweet. Well, and it's nice to hear the stories about you traveling and staying so connected as a family. I love that. Okay, so let's dive back into your art quilting journey. So how did your love for techniques and processes in surface design blossom?
Well, in 2008, I discovered a local group here in Florida that's called the Tampa Bay Surface Design Guild. And I joined a group and it really opened my mind to so many different things that I didn't know about. Members of the group, they did everything and they still do. I learned how to dye fabric. I learned how to screen print. That's where I first learned about rust dyeing. It expanded my mind like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, let's talk about groups for a moment because you are deeply involved in SACWA. That is an organization you've always loved. So what kind of things have you done with SACWA over time?
Well, I'm pretty active in our local Florida group. So we have three pods in this region and I was pretty active and still am active in all of them. I was on the special events committee and I, along with my co-partner, we helped plan the 2021 conference, which was supposed to be here in St. Petersburg, Florida, but it went virtual due to COVID. Yeah. So I was very active in that.
Yeah. And if you're listening right now and you're hearing us talk about SACWA, I just want to say that it stands for Studio Art Quilt Associates. If you're interested in finding out more about that, you can go to SACWA.com. That's SACWA.com. It's a great organization to get involved with if you love surface design and art quilting. Okay. So how did your style and techniques and processes grow and change over time?
Well, when I first started out, I was hungry and I wanted to learn everything. And I literally mean everything. So every course that the Surface Design Guild presented, which we do an in-person workshop every month. So I took everything that came along. I also took other courses from other artists like Kurt Grabowski. I was in the Jane Dunnewall's 2-year art cloth mastery program. And I take every opportunity to learn from anyone that I can.
Yeah, that sounds really good. It's so important to do that growing and learning, right?
It is.
Okay. So was there a defining moment? Like, I know you had your career. Were you doing the surface design and fun stuff on the side? Or did you make a transition where you thought, you know, I'm ready to retire. Maybe I can do this artful thing for a living.
Not exactly. I had a little bit of a transition in between retiring from the Air Force and then discovering the surface design and the textile arts. I owned a custom slipcover business for 15 years. And when I decided to retire from that is when I decided to move into becoming an artist, if you want to say.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay. So I want to jump out of the artful talk for a moment and just ask you, where are you living now and who are your loved ones that you share your world with every day?
Well, I live in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is my hometown. So I'm a native Floridian and we're very hard to find these days. And I share my home with my husband, Rick. We've been married almost 38 years and we have a little crazy dog. He's crazy, but very lovable. And we call him Bam Bam.
Bam Bam. That's the perfect name for a little crazy dog. Okay. So I love to talk with surface designers, creators, quilters, and artists. I love to talk about design. So when you see something in the world that sparks an idea for you, how do you capture that?
I usually capture that on my phone. I like to work digitally, so my phone comes into play a lot.
Okay, so you have an art quilting biz right now. You have a quote on your website that goes, "As an artist, I'm intrigued by the process. Always trying to push the boundaries and see how far I can take a process." So what do you bring to the world with your business in a nutshell?
I think the best thing that I bring to the world is my curiosity. I love to learn. I love to figure things out. I'm very much a left brain person. At one point, I even considered calling myself the left brain artist because I love to break down a process and understand it on a deep level and then simplify it for other people.
Yeah. And I was kind of thrilled when I heard that you were doing all these workshops on using the cutting machines, because I have a brand new cutting machine sitting over here that I've never even taken out of the box. So I need to dive into your courses and learn more. And it's so nice that you're willing to dive so deep into the process that you can turn it around and educate people, and they don't have to go and do all that research themselves. They can just learn from you, right?
Right. You know, Brandy, I had my first cutting machine probably about 2 years before I took it out of the box.
Yeah.
And I was so scared that I was going to break it. And then I finally had a talk with myself. It's like, listen, ladies, you've worked on expensive machinery in the Air Force and you didn't break that. Okay.
So true. And you know what? It's funny because I've had my cutting machine for a while, and I originally thought, well, maybe I'll make myself a few t-shirts. Maybe I'll do some art processes where I'm designing something and I'm putting it on quilts. And I actually the other day ordered a few custom t-shirts for myself, and I have a Cricut machine. So I ordered some online. So I really need to pull that Cricut machine out. You're absolutely right.
Yes, you do. You need to pull it out. You won't break it.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to your artwork that you're making, how do you bring your work to the world?
Well, the guild that I belong to, the Tampa Bay Surface Design Guild, we usually have about 2 to 4 shows a year, member shows, and some of them are juried, some are not. So I always try to put my work into those. I have my work, of course, on my website, and I've started to enter more SOCWA shows, especially our regional Florida shows.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how SOCWA has played a role in your growth as an artist.
Well, probably the biggest role SOCWA has played is all the education they have available to you. It's helped me become a little bit more professional and to try to approach my art in a more professional way instead of a haphazard way. And it's helped me learn to narrow my particular, I guess you could say, field that I want to work in or area that I want to work in, instead of trying to be a Jill of all trade.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something I love about the SOCWA organization is there's kind of an entry level for all levels of artists. So if you're just thinking you want to become a little bit more of an artful quilter, you can join, and just the information and the galleries and the quilts on the website are just loads of inspiration, right? But then also, if you want to become more advanced in your art quilting journey, you can start entering the shows, you can enter the challenges, you can make things for the auctions. And then beyond that, you can become a juried artist member or a JAM, which, you know, you have to apply for that and be selected as that. And it's a big deal. But there's so many different ways that you can get involved. It's a great learning process. And of course, they have virtual events, online events, all kinds of things that you can do. So, but back to Angie Knowles, we've talked a bit about how you bring your art to the world and how SACWA's played a role in that. Let's dive into your website a little bit. So your website is angieknowles.com. So what kind of things are we going to find if we head on over to your website?
Well, the first thing you're going to find is my homepage. And you know, that just gives you what I focus on. And I call it my dye, print, stitch, and embellish. So I focus on dyeing, printing, and stitching and embellishing my art quilts. You'll also find on that homepage a personal cutting guide reference book. And that is a freebie that you get when you sign up for my email list. And that is a guide that you can, when you use your cutting machine and you find that perfect setting for that particular material, you can record that in this guide so you don't have to remember it and you always can come back to it.
Oh, that's such a great idea. Someone was encouraging me to do that in my dyeing processes once, because I dye willy-nilly, do a lot of low immersion, and I never record anything. And then I get this great result and I wish I would have known how I did it, right? So the same thing goes for cutting machines. If you have a perfect setting, it's nice to know what you did so that you can repeat the process.
Correct. I'm a big proponent, and this probably left over from my military days. I'm a big proponent of recording everything.
Yeah. Okay. So what else will we find on the website?
You'll find my online courses page, and this is where I list all of my online courses. And I have my latest course, which is my rust dyeing on fabric. And I also have my designing for the cutting machine courses here.
Okay. So you'll find those there, and you do lectures as well.
I do guild lectures. I have 3 lectures currently available. The first one is Introduction to Rust Dyeing, and that's just about an hour long lecture. I'm showing you one of the ways that I rust dye, because I do it in multiple different ways. Okay. And the second one is multiple ways of making a silk screen. Silk screening is one of my favorite processes, and over the years, I've learned different ways of creating silk screens. So that's what we cover in that lecture. And the final lecture is Introduction to Inkscape for Cutting Machines, which is sort of like the gateway drug for my cutting machine online course.
Yeah, so good. Okay, that's great. And so there's a wonderful About Me page so that we can learn a little bit more about you. Of course, there's a sign up for your newsletter. And then you have a gallery as well. So what will we find in the gallery?
The gallery, you're going to find some photos of some of my art pieces, some of my favorite art pieces. And you'll find out most of them are rust. So yeah. Because that's my favorite process. But you'll also see some of the other processes that I like to do.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about your YouTube channel and what you have on there first. And then from there, we're going to chat about your YouTube channel and your newsletter and blog and how they kind of work together. So tell us about YouTube first.
I love YouTube. I love making videos. I love learning from YouTube also, but I love creating tutorial videos. And I've worked on creating a wonderful video setup here in my studio. So I like to share short tutorial videos on different ways of doing things, because I've learned so much from YouTube. I feel that it is my responsibility to share what I know and put it out there to help other people.
So if you want to go and check out Angie's YouTube channel, it's Angie E. Knowles, Textile Artist, and you will find loads of inspiration on there. This is a great thing to go check out if you're thinking of taking the Rust Dyeing course or any of Angie's courses, because this will give you a sneak peek into how she teaches, the skills she has, what she has to offer. So I really recommend you go and check that out. Now, how does your YouTube and your newsletter and your blog, how do they kind of work together?
The way they work together is, people have different learning styles. So my YouTube channel is more for the visual learner. And my blog is more for the person that learns best by reading. Because what I do is usually I will take what I put on my YouTube and translate it into a blog post. So I can cover both types of learners. My newsletter, I usually try to give my subscribers some type of tip that will help them in their art. And then I also will refer them to my blog and my YouTube channel.
Yeah. So it's a really great idea to head over to the website on the homepage and scroll down, and you'll see that cutting guide reference book. That's your freebie if you sign up for the newsletter, and that's where you can go. So I want to get into something fun that happened for you. You were interviewed for one of your local news channels. So tell us all about that.
Yes, that was fun. Well, we had a Sakwa regional exhibit, which was supposed to be shown during the 2021 conference that was supposed to be here in person, but that it went virtual. So the news channel called and asked if we could have 2 people come down and talk about the exhibit. And I was chosen to be one of those people to come down and talk about the exhibit and my work.
Oh, that is so wonderful. It's always nice to get a feature and have your work appreciated, right?
It was very exciting.
So you love to teach, and you did something special with John C. Campbell Folk School for 3 years. So tell us, what kind of relationship have you had with them?
Well, I taught my first class at John C. Campbell in 2019. So about every other year I go back and I teach a basic, I call it surface design explorations, because we explore, you know, we touch on several different surface design techniques. We do dyeing, we do printing. I teach them how to make several different types of silk screens, teach them some printing techniques, and we'll do some discharging. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. And so you did that for a few years in a row. So is it a university or is it an art school, or what kind of school is it?
It's an old-fashioned folk school. So they have classes on everything. You can do blacksmithing, you can do basket making, you can learn how to make brooms. They have all sorts of dyeing and surface design classes, weaving and spinning, almost anything you want to learn, you can learn it there. So it's usually a 5-day class. Mm-hmm. So the students come and they reside there during the class, or if they're local, they go back and forth. And as a teacher, I reside there on campus during a class. So it's a wonderful school.
Oh, that sounds really great. And where is it located?
It's in Murphy, North Carolina.
Great. Okay. So you also teach for guilds and you teach on Zoom as well. So what are your most popular workshops to teach online?
My most popular workshop is my digital cutting class. And that one, we learn how to design for the digital cutting machines, because the operation of the machine itself is pretty simple. But most people, they buy these machines because they want to create their own original designs, but they don't know how. So, and that was my problem too when I first bought the machine. I didn't really know how to create my own designs. But as I learned and I started helping my friends learn, and I thought this would be a great online class.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the exact thing that I want to do on my Cricut machine. Okay. And so if you're in person with students, like in the trenches and you're hands-on, what is your favorite thing to teach?
My favorite thing to teach is always screen printing. I love screen printing, and I teach it every few years here locally with the Tampa Bay Surface Design Guild because I just love it.
Yeah. Okay. And we've mentioned your lectures a little bit here and there, but you do those online for guilds as well on Zoom. So let's dive a little deeper into those. Just describe them a bit further for us.
Okay. So the first one is Introduction to Rust Dyeing. And this is the technique that I first learned with rust dyeing. We're actually using rusty metal objects to transfer the rust from the object to the fabric. And it's a permanent process. People always ask me, will it fade? Will it rub off? And no, it's there unless you use some other chemical process to remove it.
Okay, that sounds really cool. And what else do you talk about?
So my second lecture is multiple ways to make silkscreen. So you all know I love screen printing. And I learned screen printing the traditional way first, with the photo emulsion and the UV lights and how to expose the screen and all of that. But that's a process, and a lot of people don't want to go through that process. So over the years, I have learned and taught myself other ways to make silk screens that don't involve such a huge process. So that's what this lecture is about.
Yeah, and that's so great because, you know, people would think, okay, if I have a quilting guild, I don't want to maybe book such a specific course yet. Let's do a lecture first and see how people take to it. And then if there's enough interest, we can book the course, right? So it's a great idea to do that as a lecture. And then maybe in the future, they'll book your course.
Correct.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so let's get into, you know, the artwork that you've made in the past. Is there an art quilt or project that's been most memorable for you?
There is. And this one was selected for the Florida Regional Show for 2021. And it was rust, of course. Any surprise there? But this quilt I titled it The Same But Different. And I had this idea in my mind to do this quilt with this title for a long time, but I could never envision how to do it. And while thinking of something for this exhibit, the answer came to me. And that phrase is very special to me because it's a phrase my husband and I use all the time. We'll talk about something. We'll say, oh, yeah, well, it's the same, but different. And not only does that phrase apply to things, it applies to people. Because one of the experiences that I had in the military, in the Air Force, was my first overseas tour was in Turkey. It was at a very remote location, and there were only about 250 people on this installation. We called it the little Peyton place for those of us of a certain age, because it was everything you did, everybody knew about. But one of the things we experienced was we got to know a few local people, local Turkish people, and it really brought home to me how we're all the same, but just a little different. And so that quilt, I finally got it out of my head, and I was able to show that in life, how things are the same but different. So for this quilt, I used the same piece of rusty metal, and I rusted it four times on the same fabric. And the thing about rusting, even though you may use that same piece of metal, each impression is going to be different.
Yeah.
So that quilt was very special to me. And when it got juried into that Florida show, it really, really made me happy.
Oh, that's so meaningful. So in your creative practice, what brings you joy?
Just getting in here and experimenting and learning.
Yeah, such a great answer. You can really tell in the courses that you offer and the things that you do that the exploration and the deep dive is the thing for you. And it's just so refreshing that you're turning that around and offering it to students in more of an introductory way. So I love that. Okay, so right now we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about Angie's studio space, her online courses, and what's coming soon. We'll be right back.
Don't forget to check out the So Yeah Quilting website or pop into their store live in Las Vegas. Tell them you heard it on the Quilter on Fire podcast. And if you're thinking, but I'm Canadian, no worries. They have $20 flat rate shipping to Canada. And anything you purchase at their store with the link in the show notes benefits them and benefits this podcast at no extra cost to you. You'll get the supplies you need, and it's a great way to support this podcast. If you love listening to this free podcast, please support our sponsors. SoYaQuilting.com. Do you own a quilty biz? The Quilter on Fire podcast has gone from 1,000 to over 5,000 downloads per week over the last year. And there was also that one that hit 20,000, remember, Tula Pink? If you advertise anywhere, why not consider a podcast ad? Quilter on Fire podcast ads bring great value, and they're not just here and gone. The ad stays up for the life of the podcast. Drop me a quick message or email me at brandy@quilteronfire.com to get your quilty business into the ears of thousands of quilters today.
And we're back. Angie, tell us about your personal studio space.
Brandy, I have a dream studio.
Oh, do you?
I do. We bought this house in 2005. And at the time, I was looking for a space for my slipcover business, because I had a commercial space, but I wanted to move back home. So when we bought this house, the house was the ugliest house on the block. It really was. My husband didn't want to buy it. I had to convince him to buy the house. But I was sold when I saw the 3-car garage. And I knew that I could run my slipcover business out of this garage. So I always tell people, we bought a garage that came with a house. Because the house was so ugly. It was horrible. But I have a 3-car garage. It's over 600 square feet. I have what used to be a storage room on the back of the garage that I cleared out and claimed. And then I have all of this outdoor space.
So outdoor space is so great for surface design, right?
Yes.
Especially all that dyeing and everything with the liquids, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what is your favorite time of day?
My favorite time of day is morning. I'm not as much of an early morning person as I used to be, but I still like to get up before everyone else when things are quiet, and I can just sit and think about what I want to do that day without any interference.
Okay, and what is the best thing you do for your own personal growth as an artist?
The best thing that I do is to stay curious. Is always asking what if, or what if I did this? How about I do this? And that's the best thing for me.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you took a Jane Dunnewald course. So tell us a little bit about that.
That was really fun. I had heard a lot about Jane. I had never met her before I signed up for her course. And I was a little apprehensive because it was, first of all, a big time commitment, and it was a big financial commitment. But I would have to say it was probably one of the best things I did. And it's funny, when you take a course like that, you go in with certain expectations. And my biggest expectation was, I'm going to get much better at screen printing. And that's not what happened. I did get better, but I got so much better at working with color, which was not one of my expectations, but it was just an amazing course.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, do you have kind of a daily self-care thing that you love to do for yourself?
I do. One of the things that I like to do for myself is, first of all, to turn off my work brain, turn off my art brain, sit down with my feet up, my dog next to me, and read a good book.
Oh, read a good book. That is so great. Such good advice. Sometimes you just need to detach from everything, both sides of your brain. Just get into an imaginary world, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now I really want to dive into your Surface Design Academy. So different from the things you teach in person, different from the things you teach on Zoom, this is your on-demand courses. So tell us about the Rust Dyeing Fabric. This is your latest course. So tell us what people are going to get if they sign up for that course.
So this course came about because I love to learn. As I said, I love to learn things. And one of my favorite things to do is to purchase old books on surface design and techniques that they did back in the day. And I have this one book, and it talks about dyeing with a rust liquid, because I don't know if most people know it, but before the invention of synthetic dyes, iron was used to create a brown color on fabric. And so I found that to be really fascinating. So this course is not exactly the same as using rusty metal to create your rust on fabric. In this course, we make an iron dye that can be used just like any other dye, like our Procyon dyes. And the process from the old book, it was, you know, it used a lot of hazardous materials. So it took me several years to experiment coming up with other materials to replace those. And once I finally perfected this and was getting consistent results, I then decided to offer it as an on-demand course.
Yeah. And if you're listening right now and you're thinking, oh, I've always wanted to try this technique, I've always wanted to rust dye fabric or come up with that effect and use it in a quilt, you can head on over to Angie's YouTube channel, because she just posted a video recently about rust dyeing on fabric. And it tells us all about this course, right?
Right. And it shows some of the fabrics that I created during the creation of this course.
Yeah. And they're so gorgeous. They look like, instead of doing indigo dyeing and tying and all the different things, it looks like you're doing that same kind of thing, but with rust.
Exactly. That's exactly what this course is.
It looks so good. Okay. And I also want to talk about your first on-demand course, which is Design to Cut. Now, this is laid out in a few different formats. There is a masterclass, but then there's also a bootcamp and individual courses. So tell us all about that.
Okay. So the bootcamp was, it was basically a way for me to test my idea. Would there be enough people interested in this course? And if so, to get some feedback. So that's what the bootcamp was. So it was a 2-day live on Zoom, and I recorded it, and now I offered it for people to get a preview of what's in the course and also to check out my teaching style and see if it's something that they would like.
Yeah, such a great idea. So,
thank you. So the masterclass, it's everything. It covers everything I could think about for this course. So in this course, I teach the designing process. And I use a program called Inkscape, which is a free vector-based drawing program. And I've been using Inkscape for over 10 years. And I chose that program because it's compatible no matter which machine you use. So this course is good for people who have machines and it's not machine specific. But I also wanted to break this out into individual lessons, because people may be at certain stages of their designing skills and they may not need the entire master class. So I broke it out into individual courses. That way they can just take what they need.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've got a few really well-established courses in your course portal. So what's coming soon? Are you going to be doing something more?
I am. I have more on-demand courses planned that are related to both of these. So I have more Rust courses, because it's not just rust dyeing. I have other processes you can use with rust. And I have, for the design to cut classes, I want to focus more on specific skills. So the master class was getting you some basic skills with your cutting machine and with designing. And so future classes will focus on one specific skill and a project.
Yeah, sounds so good. Well, I'm glad. I can't wait to see. I'm excited about taking your course on the cutting machine, because I definitely need to do that. And I look forward to seeing how you expand those offerings as well. So be sure to get on that email list. Don't forget, it's at angieenowles.com. So Angie is A-N-G-I-E. There's that E in the middle. And Knowles is spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-S. So now it's time for the lightning round robin. It's a series of rapid fire questions and it's super fun. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so what is your favorite tool or Notion?
I wouldn't call it a tool, but my favorite thing in my studio is my table.
Your table? Okay, tell us why.
It's 6 feet by 12 feet.
Oh, that's big.
It's big. I can do everything on that table. We've even hid under that table during a hurricane.
Oh, no.
So at one end of the table, so most of the table is padded. 9 feet of it is padded, so I can print on it. I can pin my fabric and print. I can press on it. I've slept on it. I've taken naps on it. And at one end, I have a 3-foot by 5-foot cutting surface, so I can use my rotary cutter. And the top lifts up, and I have this huge light box underneath it.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's great.
It's a dream table.
I can just imagine your husband saying, Angie, you need to come out of the studio. You're like, no, I'm sleeping here on the table. That's great. Okay. Speaking of sleeping, what motivates you to get out of bed in the morning?
Well, I like to say something really profound, but it's usually because I have to go to the bathroom.
I have to go to the bathroom or the dog's waking you up to go for a walk. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And what is a skill you'd still love to learn in quilting?
I really want to learn ruler work, how to use a ruler as you're quilting. So I've watched plenty of videos on that and it looks fascinating.
Yeah, it's a really fun. I've taken a beginner class on it. I haven't done a ton of it, but it really is fun and it's easier than people might think. That's what I'd have to say about after taking it. It's a lot easier than you think. Okay, so has there been a mentor who has really influenced you along your way?
In the art world, I would have to probably say Jane Dunnewall.
Yeah, that course was really hit you hard, hey?
It did.
Okay, do you have any favorite collections of things in your home?
I do, but they're in my studio. I love to collect old sewing machine heads.
Oh, what does that mean by sewing machine head?
Well, I don't need the whole sewing machine table or anything. I just want the head. Usually most of them aren't in working condition.
Yeah.
But I just think sewing machines are beautiful.
Oh, you're just surrounding yourself with something you truly love.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay. So do you have another favorite hobby besides quilting?
I do. I like to garden, but lately I've been getting more into photography, specifically macro photography of my plants.
Oh, that's really cool. So macro photography means that you're taking very close-up pictures of details?
Yes, extremely close up. So I have a couple different macro lenses I purchased over the past few years, and I'm still learning. I wouldn't call myself good at it yet.
Yeah, that is really cool. I remember many, many years ago, maybe 25 years ago, when my husband and I got a fancy camera for the first time, we were about to get married. I remember he had so much fun fooling around with macro photography. So that's why I even know that word. But we haven't done that in quite some time. But it's fascinating what you can see when you get that close up that you don't, you know, if you see that bug. Or I remember he took the picture of a corner of his sunglasses once and it was so fascinating. So
cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. Okay. So do you have any furry friends in the studio?
Yes. My favorite furry friend is my dog, Bam Bam. But I've had other friends come in that I didn't really want here. But
oh, no.
We've had to evict them, but Bam Bam's allowed to stay.
Oh, it's already one thing to have a crazy little dog that you've named Bam Bam, but to have other furry friends that are not welcome, that's not okay.
No.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for braving the lightning round, Robin. That was so fun. So I've mentioned your website at angieenowles.com, where we can find everything you offer. But where's the best place for quilters to connect with you on social media?
My Instagram account. And it is just Angie Knowles without the E.
Okay. So Angie Knowles. And again, Knowles is K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Now, as we wrap up, Angie, what do you want people to take away most from our conversation today?
What I want people to take away most is to keep learning. To me, learning is just fundamental in life. I want you to keep learning and expanding your skills and learn as much as you can from as many different people as you can. But eventually, I want you to get to a point where you start doing the work your own way and making it yours.
Oh, that's such great advice to end the podcast with. Thank you so much. Angie, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me, Brandy. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. So that was my show with Angie Knowles. One thing that really delights me about her is her passion for experimentation. Like we said already, she pushes the boundaries of a process or technique. She takes it further than she thinks she can, and then she turns it around and shares it with her audience. I'm excited to get involved in her Design to Cut workshops because I have that brand new Cricut sitting over there that I've never opened. If you want to get more information on using your cutting machine that you have at home, or you want to give rust dyeing a try, then head on over to her website and get on her email list. I can't wait to see what she comes up with next in the Surface Design Academy, and I loved sharing her story with you today.
The Japan Textile Tour with the Quilter on Fire is a go. Travelers are now booking their flights, and we start our tour from Tokyo to Kyoto on May 19th, 2024. There are a few spots left, so if you need to check Japan off your bucket list, call Judy from Opulent Quilt Journeys at 1-877-235-3767 to book your trip today. I'm going back to London. My annual trip to the Festival of Quilts Birmingham is so much fun. Grab a friend and book your summer holiday with me. And even if you are a lone traveler, I know this itinerary inside out so you can relax and enjoy while every moment is planned with the quilter in mind. This is such a wonderful sightseeing holiday to England and Wales, ending with the Festival of Quilts. And I'd love to have you join me July 23rd to August 3rd. Book your spot today by calling Judy at Opulent Quilt Journeys, 1-877-235-3767.
Thank you for listening to the Quilter on Fire podcast. Until next time, dream big and have fun in the studio with the Quilter on Fire.